I know that it is believed and taught and emphasized, and men place all their hopes and expectations of a heaven or bliss on the statement, that I will at some time come in the clouds of heaven with a great shout, to earth, and by the power which they believe exists in me, establish the kingdom of God, a kind of kingdom in which I will be the king and rule supreme, and receive as my subjects those who believe in and worship me, and send those who do not into eternal damnation and outer darkness. Well, this is pitiable, untrue and all erroneous. This kingdom will never be established in this way, for only man, himself, can call into existence this kingdom, only by becoming the pure perfect man that existed when God's earthly kingdom had at man's creation, its existence. Man alone, brought sin into the world, and man must himself destroy sin, and then harmony with the fathers will be restored, and also this kingdom. But, from what I have written, it must not for a moment or in the slightest degree, be inferred even, that God is not taking and will not take any part in the re-establishment of this kingdom, for it is a fact, that he is working through his angels upon the souls and thoughts of men to bring this kingdom on earth, but he will not force its establishment. It must come voluntarily on the part of men. When he created man, he gave him a free will, the most wonderful of the natural gifts to man, and he will not, by the exercise of his power arbitrarily control the direction of that will, but as to it leaves man supreme. Of course while this is so, yet if man in such exercise contravenes the laws of God, man must suffer the consequences, for God never changes or sets aside his laws. Man may exercise his free will as he desires and as his thoughts and appetites may influence him to do, but the freedom of exercise does not prevent the imposition of the penalties that the laws prescribe when they are violated. Thus you see there is freedom without limitation, but every inharmonious exercise of that freedom must invite the infliction of that which necessarily follows the violation of harmony. God wants and is patiently waiting for the love of man, and is always the loving Father who delights not in the suffering of his creatures, for he wants their love to come voluntarily and without constraint or fear of punishment or hope of reward, except that reward which must necessarily follow the blending of God's love and the love of man. Then I say, the kingdom of heaven on earth is not the divine kingdom, and has not in it that which is necessarily divine, except the love of God to his creatures to bless and make them happy. His essence and substance are not conferred upon them, for if they were, men would not remain in the kingdom of earth, but would, to a degree, be in the celestial heaven, even while on earth, and as I know some men, while still mortals, are in this divine heaven. Now, what I have said with reference to the kingdom of heaven on earth, applies with equal truth to the kingdom of God in the spirit world. For though the inhabitants are merely the spirits of men after they have surrendered their physical bodies, and become purified in their natural love and in harmony with the will and laws of God controlling their existence as perfect men. 557, The Paget Messages 1917, while the kingdom of God has not yet been established on earth, it has been in the spirit world, for in the highest sphere of that world the souls of men have become purified and harmony has been restored. And the souls of men enjoy the supreme happiness that was bestowed upon them at the time of their first creation, which God pronounced very good. Sometime you will have described to you the bliss and wonderful happiness of that kingdom, and I will not say that this is beyond all conception of men, and was established not by the mere power and will of God, but by the exercise of the will of men after they became spirits in renouncing evil and sin, and having their thoughts and desires and soul in its natural love purified and made harmonious. And here I must say, that all men who have ever lived, or who shall ever live, will, at some time live in this kingdom of God in the spirit world, or in the kingdom of the celestial spheres, but the large majority will find their homes in the former kingdom. The hells and dark places will be emptied of their inhabitants and abolished forever, and, surprising as it may seem to mortals, not by the fiat of God, but the exercise of men's will and desires and longings for the attainment of the purification of their love, and by their reaching the goal of their aspirations. But God will be with them in their efforts, and his angels will do his will in helping mortals and spirits along this way to the spiritual kingdom. Then how important it is that mortals should understand and realize the great work that they must do in establishing the kingdom on earth and the kingdom in the spirit world, and not rest supinely in the mere intellectual belief that God will in his own way and at his own time, establish this kingdom, and that they who believe in God and observe the creeds and doctrines of their churches and perform their duties as church members, will become inhabitants of that kingdom, and in a moment become pure and undefiled and in harmony with the will of God and his laws. It is a very harmful belief, because the only way to this kingdom is the way of renunciation and purification, and all the beliefs ever possessed by men that do not lead to this purification of men's souls, will not lead to this kingdom. Man, with the help of the Father, must hew his own destiny, and the Father, without the effort of man, will not make for him a destiny that his condition of soul and love do not entitle him to. But there is a kingdom greater and different and unlike these kingdoms of which I have been 558, writing, and that is the celestial kingdom of God, and only those who receive of the divine essence can become inhabitants of this kingdom. The souls of men must become transformed into the very nature divine of God, and the natural love of man be changed in all its qualities and elements into the divine love of the Father. I have written that many of my moral teachings are recorded in the Bible, and that I came, or rather my acceptance by the Father as his beloved Son, and the reception into my soul of his divine love qualified me to teach the way to the several kingdoms. And as was said in that book, what was lost by the disobedience of the first man was restored by the coming of the second, and that only means that by reason of the knowledge that came to me of truth and of the laws of harmony that govern God's universe, I was enabled to teach men the way to a return to the purity and development of their souls in natural love that existed before the great loss caused by the disobedience of the first man. I was not to bring about this restoration by any great power or godlike qualities of omniscience that I might be supposed to possess, but merely by teaching men to love God and their brothers, and to pursue their course of living and thinking that would necessarily enable them to renounce sin and evil and come into a state of harmony with the laws of their creation. Now, while I taught these moral truths, I also taught the great spiritual truths that show men the way to the celestial kingdom, for in my communions with the Father there came to me not only the divine love which transformed my soul into the substance of the Father in its love qualities, but also the knowledge by which this divine love might be acquired and the certain way to the celestial kingdom, even though to a degree while in the flesh. But my spiritual teachings that show the way to the celestial kingdom were not so well understood by my hearers, and not even by my intimate disciples, but more so by John, and consequently were not preserved in the Bible, as were my moral teachings. And as to the Bible, I mean the original manuscripts, were not written until many years after my death. Even in these manuscripts not many of my teachings as to the way that leads to this celestial kingdom, were contained. And afterwards when these manuscripts were copied, and the copies recopied, these important truths were not preserved, scarcely any. Though the fundamental ones were preserved, the Paget Messages 1917, namely, God is love, and, except a man be born again he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, these were retained. And as time went by and the recopying continued, fewer and fewer of my precepts were preserved, and men came to know less and less of these higher truths, and, consequently, the mere moral teachings became better understood and were used by the teachers and instructors of the masses to lead men to a kingdom of God. And in addition to this, these leaders changed even these moral truths and the interpretations of the early writers in such a way as to enable these leaders to attain to wealth and power and control over the common people in their beliefs and observances of worship. The God of love then, to a large extent, became a God of hatred and wrath, inflicting punishment upon those who dared to disobey those injunctions that the hierarchy of the church placed upon them as the demands and will of God. But these matters have been written upon more fully elsewhere, and I will not further enlarge upon them, and will now disclose the true way that leads to the kingdom of God in the celestial heavens. Well, we have written a long time tonight, and I think it best to postpone my further writing till later. I must say this though, that I am pleased that you are in so much better condition, and I feel that now we can proceed more rapidly with our messages. Remember this, that my promises will be fulfilled, and you must have faith. I am with you very often, and love you as you know, and will continue to pray to the Father for you. So trust me and be assured that I am helping you in your desire. Good night and God bless you. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Saint John, Apostle of Jesus. I will not write much, but I desire to say that you have a wonderful message from the Master tonight, and that he was very anxious that you should receive it as correctly as possible, and I must tell you that he was very well satisfied with the way in which he was able to express his thoughts. It is a wonderful disclosure of the two kingdoms that may and will be established. The kingdom in the spirit world has already been established, for there are many spirits who have the purification of the natural love in that degree that makes them the perfect men, as were the first 559 parents. Well, he will come soon and describe the greater and more important way to the true kingdom of the Father, and I hope that you will be in condition to receive this part of the message in as correct a manner as you have received what has been written tonight. What a Jesus of knowledge and love he is! Can you doubt that he is the very Christ and the Savior of mankind, and showed men the only way to the celestial kingdom? There was a great concourse of spirits present tonight, and many who heard his message were astonished, and, I know, benefited thereby. The higher spirits were here in great numbers, and also many who have learned the way and are now progressing, and if you could have seen the expressions of love on their countenances, you would thank the Father with all the gratitude of your soul that you have been selected for this work. Oh, my brother, let not doubt come into your soul as to your mission and as to the work that you are doing. Your bands, both the higher and those who are progressing, were here, and they were so thankful that the Father is so good, and blesses you so much. I will not write more, but in closing repeat, pray and believe and the love will come to you in greater and greater abundance. With my love and the blessings of the Father, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John. May 6, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I intended to finish my message tonight, but I see that you are not feeling inclined to receive it, and so I will wait until tomorrow night. Well, that is satisfactory, for I desire that you shall receive it just as I may write it, and I want you to be in condition, so do not think that I am disappointed. I understand, and you must not feel that you have caused me any disappointment. Yes, that I desire you to do, for sometimes it is difficult to make the exact expression. Your mind will at times become positive, and that interferes with my control. But I am well pleased with the way in which it was written. Well, I will write all that is essential for man to understand just what the way to that kingdom is and what he must do to become an inhabitant of it. I was with you at the church this morning, and I impressed you with my feelings in reference to what the preacher said as to my sacrifice and blood. Instead of calling upon his people to show their gratitude for the sacrifice and the cross, he, the Paget Messages 1917, should have taught them that the sacrifice and the blood do not save them from their sins, and in that particular there is nothing that calls for their gratitude, and that to worship me as they do, and as he teaches them to do, is blasphemy, and a more heinous sin than ingratitude. I was successful in impressing you with my feelings of dissatisfaction, and was glad that I could, for it shows that our rapport is becoming closer, and after a while you will be able to receive my thoughts by inspiration as well as by writings. You must pray and have faith, and if you do, you will more often have the experiences that you did last night, which only means a quicker soul development. Trust me and you will not be disappointed. I will not write more now. So with my love and the Father's blessing, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see that you do not feel like writing much tonight, and I will say only a few words. The Master was anxious to finish his message, but he saw your condition and was not displeased that you did not write. So, sweetheart, keep up your courage and faith and pray, and you will be happier and realize your desires. Good night, my own dear husband. Your own true loving, Helen. May 8, 1917. I am here, Jesus. I see that your work has prevented you from receiving my message tonight, and while I am sorry, I do not complain, for you must do your work, and thereby the more rapidly get in condition to start the effort to accumulate to get in the position that you desire, and which is so necessary to our work. You are better tonight, spiritually, and our rapport is very complete, and I could easily write my message, but you are physically tired, and I do not think it wise to attempt to write, so I will postpone doing so until tomorrow night, when, I hope there will be nothing to interfere. Comment by Paget, yes, that is the correct idea, and I will endeavor to make the message as full and lucid as possible. I know how you feel in reference to the matter, and that you desire to receive the message in the best possible shape, and I know that you will do so. You must not think that I am not willing to wait whenever you have 560, your professional work to attend to, or that I will not be with you even though we cannot write, for I am with you very often, trying to help, as I have said. So you must keep up your courage and trust me, and have faith in my promises. I will not write more now, and will say that you have my love and blessings. Question: well, as to that, I know that you will in the not distant future, be able to see me as you say, for I am desirous that you do so. You have the power of clairvoyance, but it is not desirable that it be developed in you at this time as we wish all your power to become centered in receiving the messages, but some night when you are praying and I am with you, the power will be given you and you will see me as I am while praying with you. I feel that this may strengthen your faith and draw you closer to me, and I myself want you to actually see me as I am. 27 Well, let us say good night and stop. Question: yes, I understand, but if I should come and write to you in there, as you may think, dignified way that an elevated spirit should write, you would not feel the nearness to me that I so much want you to feel, and besides you might not just understand what I intended to communicate. It is impossible for you to accommodate yourself to my condition, and hence, I have to accommodate myself to yours. I want you to get as close to me as possible, and in order that that may be, I have to become verily human as you are, otherwise the rapport could not exist between us, and I would seem to you like some far-off nebulous being that you could not understand or feel the influence of. No, I am very human when I come to you. But this I will say, in order that you may get a somewhat better idea of our relationship, that as you progress more in your soul development and in the possession of the Father's love, you will be less human, I mean in your condition of soul, which is that in you that furnishes the rapport between us, and I will meet you on the plane that you may occupy. So you see what a determining factor in our rapport your condition of soul is. And if you consider this for a moment, you will more clearly comprehend why it is that the dark spirits can find in you a closer rapport that enables you to help them, than they can find in the higher spirits. We try to make a rapport with them, but their souls do not respond, and it is only after you have talked. 27 Mr. Paget told me later that Jesus did reveal himself and he saw him clairvoyantly while Mr. P. was praying for more of the divine love. The Paget messages 1917 to them and directed their attention to us, which causes, as it were, an opening up of their souls to us. Can we come in that rapport with them that enables us to gain their attention and create in them an interest in what we may say to them? This to you may seem surprising, as you believe that we who are more elevated must have great power with and over these dark spirits, and this is so for certain purposes, and we do often restrain them from doing things that they should not do. But this, as you must understand, means that we by our powers arbitrarily force them to do or not do certain things, just as on earth, your laws, or the enforcement of them, restrain those who desire to violate the laws from doing so. But when he come to the work of attempting to turn their thoughts to those things that affect their soul condition, this thing of constraint or force will not effectuate, bring about, the work. We then must deal with the exercise of their free will, and in such cases only persuasion or love influence can possibly do the work of helping them out of their dark and tainted condition of soul. We must invite and persuade the soul to awaken, we cannot force it, and to do so we must form that relationship with these dark spirits, that will cause them to voluntarily open up their souls to our influences. The great obstacles to our work among spirits of this kind is that they will not listen to us or come in conversation with us, and we cannot compel and accomplish our purposes. No man or spirit can ever by force be made to open up his soul to the higher thoughts and essentials of the soul's progress. Of course, when we once get in that rapport with them that enables us to enlist their attention, and listen to what we say, we can cause them to have an awakening by informing them of the sufferings and torments that will be theirs if they continue in their same condition, and you may say, by a kind of mental force compel them to think of these things that are holding them in their condition of darkness, but this does not occur unless we can first secure their attention, and to some extent, their confidence. So you may realize from this to some degree the importance of the work that you are doing among the dark spirits. They, being in the condition of darkness and want of soul development, cannot see any such development that you may have, and to them you are merely a mortal, as they themselves were a short time ago in many cases. And finding that they can communicate with you, they come to you just as 561, one man would to another for the purposes of conversation, and outside of the phenomenon of spirit and mortals conversing, you do not seem to them any different from what men seem to them when they were on earth. They are all very human, and to them your conversation is very natural, and, hence, they listen to you with the same feelings of confidence, or rather not of distrust, that they would to another spirit of their own kind. You are all humans together, and your opinions or ideas to them are just the same as they might expect if they were in the flesh or you were a spirit like themselves. While these dark spirits may, under certain circumstances, see the bright and beautiful spirits, as they sometimes tell you they do, yet they see only the appearance of the spirit body, they cannot see the condition of the spiritual development in these bright spirits, for it is a law that the spirit perceptions cannot envision the conditions of the souls of others in a higher degree of development than they themselves have. And this applies to all spirits, no matter what sphere they may occupy, and hence you will understand that as we progress in our soul spheres, the higher we ascend, the more clear and comprehensible becomes our soul perceptions of the Father and His divine qualities. So, I say, so far as the real perception of these dark spirits are concerned, they cannot comprehend the real spiritual development of the higher spirits, whom they often see. The interior condition of these higher spirits are just as hidden from the dark spirits as is the interior condition of one man from another. Only when like meets like can there be a perception, that is, not a real visual perception, but a spiritual perception of each other. But the higher spirits can see the interior conditions of those who are in spheres lower than they, and determine just what the soul development of these lower ones are. Also, you must understand that the appearance of the spirit body indicates and portrays, to a large extent, the condition of the soul, and from this, one spirit may judge the actual development of another. I mean those may so judge who have progressed above the dark planes. Well, I have written more than I intended, but as you were desirous to have some conception of what I have written, I concluded, tried, to attempt to explain to you these matters, though I know from my explanation, you cannot fully understand what I have been trying to make known to you. But we must stop now. The Paget Messages 1917. So with my love I will say, good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well dear, you had a message from the Master tonight that you did not expect. It will enlighten you considerably on a subject that we have written you about several times, but could not satisfactorily explain as we did not just understand ourselves. But I think that now you can get some idea why you are so important in this work among the dark spirits. I will not write more now. Your own true and loving, Helen. May 13, 1917. I am here, Judge Sirik. But you must not pay any attention to the judge part. I merely used the term to let you know that I feel a good deal like yourselves tonight in that I am a man with you. I cannot tell you how pleased I am to be able to write to you tonight, as it has been a long time since I wrote you, and as you know, I always enjoy being with you, even more so than when on earth, for you are both very dear to me, and I want you to feel that the throwing aside my covering of flesh did not change me in any particular as regards my feelings for you, except to cause me to realize how much more you are, both, my brothers and friends. Well, I have been present all evening and heard you read the message of Jesus, and your comments on the same, and I cannot express my joy in hearing the message and realizing how it appealed to you both. For it was a wonderful message and one that will open up a world of truth to men if they will only understand and believe. I have made much progress in my soul development and in the acquirement of the knowledge of these spiritual truths, so that even I know that what was written you in that message is true. I am progressing all the time, and the love that has come into my soul has transformed me to a large degree into something more than the mere image of the Father. Oh, I tell you, this love is wonderful. And we who have it are happy beyond all conception, and the best thing about it is that the more we receive the knowledge comes to us that there is more waiting for us to receive. I am in the fifth sphere, and I have with me one whom you have heard me speak of. I mean, of course, my Rose. What a blessing to have such a soulmate, and if I could only find words to tell you 562, of the happiness that comes with such a possession I would do so. If only to give you some idea of what you may expect when you come to the spirit world, and especially when you remember that both your soulmates are in a higher sphere than are we, and of course have more happiness and love. Well, I would like to write a longer letter, but am advised that I have written enough for tonight, and so I must stop. Yes, I was there and spoke to you, but did not try to talk much as there were so many other spirits, all anxious to speak to their friends and who haven't the blessed opportunity that I have to communicate. The room was filled with spirits, and if you could have seen the condition of some of them, I know that you would have had a longing desire to help them. So do not let any doubt come to you as to the great work that is yours to help these spirits, and also that many of them are helped, as a truth. Was not I one who was thus helped, and do not I know that you have given to you this power? So thank God. And work. Tell the doctor that he also is doing a great work and must persevere, and when he comes over, as my old mother said when I was a mere child, here will be crowns of glory waiting for him. Well, I must stop now, and in doing so want to assure you both that you have my love and gratitude to the extent that an appreciative soul can give. Rose sends her love and says that she is so very happy and is praying for you both. Good night, my dear brothers. Your old friend. Frank D. Sirik. 28 May 13, 1917. I am here, James, Apostle of Jesus. I have heard you read the messages, and I have listened to your conversation, and I am much pleased that you both enjoyed the messages so much, for if you had not had the soul development that is yours, you would not have been able to understand the purport of the messages as you did. It is a wonderful message of truth, and if men could only understand what its real significance is, they would soon renounce not only their sins and evil. Dr. Stone comments, I knew Judge Sirik. He was an old friend of Mr. Paget, who was able to get Helen, who has the wonderful gift of finding the soulmates of those who desired to know whether the soulmate is on earth or in spirit world. Helen found the soulmate of Judge Sirik, who was a beautiful spirit, and her name was Rose. Both of them have now made their progress into celestial heaven. Leslie R. Stone. 28, The Paget Messages 1917, Thoughts, but their belief in the false creeds that cause them to neglect the true way to the kingdom of God, that many of them, even though they may not receive the divine love that is so necessary to lead them along the way to the celestial heavens. I am glad that this great knowledge has come to you both and that you are on the way to this greater and grander kingdom where are men who are men no longer, but are angels of the divine nature that the Master has to such a degree of perfection. Well, I want to say a few words to my special charge, Dr. Leslie R. Stone, tonight, and he must believe me and trust in me as his special angel. I would desire to inform him that his soul is developing more and more each day, and that we are all well pleased at his progress. Soon he will be in that condition that he will not have to wait until he gets into the spiritual world in order to have some of the celestial heaven in his soul, and with it that happiness and peace that comes only to those who possess the divine love in a degree that many spirits of that soul development don't have. He is pursuing the right course, and he must not let doubt enter his mind or soul, for he is, in truth, one of the redeemed of this love that he has been so often told is waiting for him without limitation. I am with him very often, trying to help and influence his thoughts for good of the divine, and he must continue to pray and believe, And I, James, his own true friend and guide, assure him that he will not be disappointed. Life on Earth, at the most, is short and fleeting, and his work is one that only he can do. His is not the gift that another may have, but is his all alone, and in a short time now, it will be developed in him, and he will be informed of just what his work will be.